everyone. I'm Bonnie Schneider, and welcome to the Tech Strong Gang. Today is Earth Day, and our whole show will be talking about various aspects of this important day and how we can preserve the planet. So stay with us. Tech Strong Gang is coming right up. Hi, welcome to the Tech Strong Gang. I'm Bonnie Schneider, and today, of course, is Earth Day. So we are going to be talking about a lot of important topics related to Earth Day. I wanted to start off first by introducing today's co-host with me, Mike Bizard, our head of content at Tech Strong. Great to have you.
Great to be here as always. And yes, saving the planet's important.
It absolutely is. Earth Day is something I always remember as a child, and I was curious looking up, well, how long has Earth Day been around? And it actually started in 1970. So do you remember doing those like experiments with school, like on Earth Day and everything?
I remember when it first came out, it was kind of a controversial subject to begin with. A lot of people were like, you know, this is some sort of conspiracy against carbon fuels and the oil companies. And it's funny, we're having the same conversation, what, 3 decades later? Maybe 4? I can't count that high.
You're right. It's true. It was considered, I guess, controversial, but it's grown so much. Earth Day isn't just obviously in the U.S. It's all over the world. Hundreds of countries, millions of people celebrating it, and they're honoring it in different ways, you know, from planting trees to doing educational programs. This year, 2024, there's a special theme. It's the planet versus plastics. And an interesting theme because I think a lot of us think first thing about how can we do better with the earth is to recycle in plastic bottles. Don't use them, or make sure you know, when you're throwing out your garbage, you're dividing it up. Have a water bottle that's, metal, that's not plastic. Simple things like that because of plastic and health, that comes to play. But on a greater scale with Earth Day, plastics are also in other aspects of, I'd say, particulars that we don't necessarily think about. I wrote a book on sustainability and climate change. One of the things I found was interesting is, this is kind of surprising, but when you're recycling, let's say, your clothes, that's something that produces a lot of carbon. Can you guess, Mike? And it's something, I'm going to give you a clue, but it's something I think you wear a lot of. But what is one of the least degradable, or it takes the longest to biodegrade, items of clothing? Can you just take a guess?
I'm going to guess golf shirts.
Close. And if you would look down, the answer is sneakers.
Ah.
And that's so interesting because I think everybody at least has, you know, most people have a pair or two. And that's what takes the longest in the landfill to degrade. So why is that? Plastic. Is plastic and little particles of your sneakers that maybe you don't even notice. So kind of interesting.
Well, I can use that in my personal life because, you know, my spouse is always after me to get better looking sneakers because I wear them till they basically fall off. So now I'm going to continue to wear them till they fall off.
Yeah, save the planet a bit. And one of the things I thought was interesting for the Tech Strong Gang was also to talk about where else there's plastic. And I think most of us know when we're using our own tech, there's plastic wires and there's plastic parts to our laptops and things like that. But in data centers itself, there's a lot of plastic and that can be, when it comes to, I mentioned wires, but there's also other parts that are within different components of data centers that are plastic. I mean, that was something we were just asked talking about that.
Yeah, you brought this up before the show, and frankly, I was a little surprised because when I think of data centers, I think of, you know, metal, lots of racks. But it turns out there's a lot of plastic hiding in that data center, and a lot of it is this very expensive, super conditioned plastic that they create to kind of hold the racks together. So it's designed not to melt in the heat. But then it turns out when it comes to recycling, I was looking this up on Data Center Magazine, actually, and they were saying that on average, the 1 megawatt data center will kick off about 33,000 pounds of emissions from plastic as you recycle all that stuff. And so that's not an insignificant number. I mean, there's lots of other sources of plastic in the world, but everybody needs to do their bit, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's one of the dichotomies that we face trying to solve the sustainability issue. On one hand, you're trying to do that, be careful, use less plastic. But on another hand, you want to use less energy. So you want to focus on cooling in a data center. Well, guess what? That's another problem because the cooling mechanisms also use plastic. So we have this also happening when it comes to air conditioning. Air conditioning uses energy, but it keeps us cooler. So it's definitely going to be a challenge to use less energy and also use less plastic at the same time.
And this plastic issue is becoming a major problem. It's not only showing up in our water systems, but funny enough, I track a lot of archaeology stuff, and they're finding, microplastics in archaeology digs where they're digging, into the sediment for several hundred years, sometimes thousand years, because the plastic just keeps settling down into the dirt layers. And they're also finding it in odd places like, the permafrost up in the Arctic is coming up with all this plastic stuff. At the end of the day, that stuff can't be good for us as humans. So, I got a feeling it's probably linked to a lot more illnesses than we know.
Probably, and that is one of the bigger issues about Earth Day when we talk about plastics is how does it affect our health and the risks that we have there. Thinking about plastic that maybe was from 20 or 30 years ago buried beneath the earth, that would really confuse an archaeologist, I think, if they were looking to date an artifact and there's something, from recent times that unfortunately settled in. So some of the solutions that we see to phase out plastic is something that's more biodegradable, new technology to create something that maybe would work in lieu of plastic. And we're also seeing in our daily lives, changes that I know. I lived in New York recently, and I was there when plastic bags were banned from stores. Plastic straws are replaced with paper straws. So we're seeing it in real time, a lot of this attention to reducing plastic.
Yeah, we're in my house. We use a lot of metal straws now, but I've noticed it's kind of a challenge to get that little brush in there to clean them out. So it takes
you have to remember to do that. That's so true. And in fact, it seems odd. I was in, maybe it was a gas station. I was buying something and I saw they had plastic straws and I was always surprised, like, oh, they still have those. And that was something that was so common as well. Well, one of the issues that Earth Day, and this is one of the reasons Earth Day exists, is to create awareness and to create more education around it. So, younger people are well aware of all of this and very passionate about it, but not everybody is. And like you were saying, some people might be skeptical and think there's, messaging behind it. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is Earth Day only grows year after year.
And we talked about the data center, but see these things? There's tons of plastic in each one of these.
Absolutely.
Billions of these now, including your keyboard.
Yeah.
And I think recycling all that's going to be a challenge, right? Taking this apart to get to the plastics and then the metals, that's a job for somebody or a robot.
And that's a good point because that was going to be that's my next thing I wanted to mention is that this is a problem because – now you mentioned laptops. We have the mouse. There's a million things that we need to recycle, and we've been talking a lot on this show on the Tech Strong Gang about AI. And Alan was just saying how things are moving so rapidly. Okay, that's great. So once things move rapidly, guess what? The first thing to say is, well, okay, get rid of this. Get the newer one, get the more modern one. So that has become someone's job. But there's issues with having that done by a human. One, it's time consuming and they have other things they want to be doing. And two, there's also a safety risk in dealing with wires and cables and all that. So one of the new areas being looked at is how can we automate our recycling of hardware and plastics? And that's something that's going to be, I think, more explored, maybe using AI, but figuring out ways to do it without a human doing it. Hold that thought. I think it's interesting about that.
To your point about the safety issue, a lot of this stuff also has, to your point, stuff that's lethal to humans in it. And what happens with these things is they wind up in landfills in South America and other places, and then people try to go in there and get that stuff out because it's valuable and you can sell it. But that stuff's killing them. And it's mercury and all these other things. And so it's not just the plastics. It's really the whole planet issue. And to me, it always comes back to the same thing. It's affecting our health.
Yes, that's exactly true. So think about that, I guess, the next time that you're upgrading or getting rid of equipment, like where is it going? What's the best way to do it? Or look to having a system that's already in place as digital transformation takes place. I think a lot of companies are dealing with this where they're getting rid of all sorts of equipment and upgrading or just simplifying, and maybe you don't need as much hardware. Obviously, every time we get a laptop, it's a little smaller. And, so it's just something to think about on this Earth Day. have a plan ahead, you know, for your organization of how are we going to be recycling as we grow.
Let me ask you a question, because you follow this more closely than I do. I read that a lot of the plastics that we do recycle don't actually get recycled.
You know, that was really disappointing as someone who's been dividing bottles for many years. I read that as well. I think I saw a report on it. I can't say for sure that's true, but I have seen that in many areas. I mean, I don't think that means that we should stop doing it. I mean, because even if a percentage of it doesn't end up in a landfill or is recycled, to me, you know, that's still worth it if you can. But I did see that, and we'll have to keep an eye on that as well. But hey, it's Earth Day, so we're, you know, talking about plastic, we're talking about data centers, and we're talking about recycling. But there's a lot more to talk about when it comes to Earth Day, because this is obviously Earth Day, I said, started in 1970, so over 50 years ago. But we're going to have a lot more Earth Days, and we'll be talking more about sustainability goals when it comes to the cloud. That's going to be coming up next in our next segment of the Tech Strong Gang. So stay with us. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Tech Strong Gang. I'm Bonnie Schneider, joined by Mike Bizard. And we are going to be talking about data centers and also the cloud, because it's Earth Day. Earth Day 2024, the theme is to talk about how we can reduce use of plastics. But we're also talking just in general about sustainability. And one of the things on Ecotech Insights, which I encourage you to check out, I've interviewed many thought leaders on this topic, cloud infrastructures. How do we align this rapid growth that we're seeing, but also with sustainability? And cloud providers are saying you have to have a green cloud. Things should be green in every aspect of a data center, turn to renewable energy. Huge corporate leaders are saying that as well, and doing it and following up by that. And Mike, I know you've been seeing that with the people that you speak to as well.
Yeah, you see a lot of ratings these days where the cloud service provider will say, first of all, we'll start with we're carbon neutral, and that can be measured in a lot of ways. And sometimes I'm not quite clear that they're all measuring the same thing in the same way. But you can get a better understanding of how much carbon your software running in the cloud is actually kicking off, and then you can factor that into your metrics. And in Europe, you're kind of required to do that now because it's part of their whole – they're ahead of us on this whole conversation. But I believe that ultimately everybody who uses something in the cloud is going to generate some sort of metric, and you can see – and I always think that, you know, people will do the right thing if they have a metric in front of them and they can track it, but – otherwise, it's just kind of a theoretical construct and you forget about it because there's nothing there to kind of look at. And I guess the old saying is, you know, things measured or things done. But I think that needs to apply here.
I think so, too. And I think in the beginning, there might be a total misconception, or maybe that people are accurate in estimating how much energy are we using. And some of the newer tools we covered in an interview I did with Dynatrace, their carbon impact app, where they're able to first measure and then track and then provide actionable insights. But that's one of many that we're seeing. A lot of new tools are coming out there. Maybe they are coming starting from Europe, but we're seeing them for U.S. companies as well to measure the carbon use and also to track it. And then the other side of it is when we talk about data centers, what we were talking about earlier, is for everything to return to be using 100% renewable energy. A lot of companies have that goal for 2040 or 2030, and there's obviously a ways to go, but it seems that you're seeing a lot of renewable energy companies partnering with data centers and data center development and cloud as well. Also, I did an interview with a company that talked about when building a data center, it was a construction company, using all sustainable materials. So I just think it goes into so many different aspects of it.
Do you think we're going to achieve those goals? Because a lot of people have stated those goals, but I'm not quite clear that we're going to hit them all. I mean, what's your sense of where are we on this journey?
I think that we probably will because, well, a couple different reasons. You know, there's always, you know, two reasons. Like, you want to and you have to. Well, we'll start with you want to. You're saying, given the chance, people will do the right thing and want to do this. You know, it's exciting to be part of something that's so new. And can we get all renewable energy? Let's try. But then there's, do we have to? And with regulations that are coming across globally, it makes sense. There's also an incentive. A lot of governments are providing incentives to use renewable energy. So people are getting on the bandwagon for that because, and I just see this across even just LinkedIn writing about, hey, did you know that there's this available, there's that available? So I think it's a combination of all of those factors, but we've already reached so many goals that probably would have seemed impossible years ago. You know, here we are on 2024 Earth Day talking about this. So progress has been made. I think it will continue.
I think one of the things that people aren't really taking into account enough here is there's a whole movement called FinOps, and FinOps is about how do I optimize my cloud costs and track that. Well, there's a direct correlation between cloud costs and how much energy is being kicked off because energy is the output of usage. So I think there's a virtuous cycle of things that can be measured here in a way that will benefit organizations to their bottom line because ultimately everybody wants to save money on their cloud spending. And the back end of that might be the derivative is, oh, by the way, and we're kicking off less carbon.
I agree. Yeah. And there's also, when you look at the big picture of corporate objectives and when they're putting out to their shareholders, this is what we're doing, we're responsible, this is a big part of it. So there's the saving money, this is the right thing to do, but there's also the public relations, the presentation of our company and how we're operating.
Now, to be fair, on the other side of this, I've talked to some folks in the energy sector and, you know, they're not laughing all the way to the bank, but it's pretty close. And their point of view on it is great for all the renewable stuff, but the demand for power, for compute because of AI is far exceeding anything we've had before. And they're like, renewables can't keep up. So we're seeing more demand for energy sources that are carbon based, and so, you know,
or energy sources that we're not using or as much of, like nuclear energy. Yeah. I spoke to a company that specializes in that, and their demand for data centers has, you know, I think that's why they're out there. So alternative energy for sure. You know, and it's really like anything else where when we're in this desire to switch to renewables, there has to be that balance because you don't want people to go without heat or without cooling, and you don't want your equipment to do that either. So I think you're right. I think that the goals will be met with the reality of what's possible.
I think the data centers themselves are moving, right? There used to be, and it kind of ebbs and flows, but for a while there, data centers were just, you know, something companies built as near to their offices as they could reasonably get. Then there was kind of an awareness of energy costs, and there was a shift towards let's build data centers on rivers and Iceland and wherever else we could find a cool spot. And then it shifted back towards we were going to put the data center closer to the point of consumption because we wanted to improve the application experience. So there was this whole movement back towards clusters of exchanges. And now I wonder if we're going to see the other shift and we're going to go back to we're going to put data centers in remote locations where there's a lot of cooling and we'll just build better networks.
That's true, too. I mean, if there's better cooling, obviously there's going to be less of a need for cooling. But I was thinking back to what you were saying before about the demand for AI. It'll also plan on, okay, let's say we're in a situation where we – and there's more energy than we can provide. There also has to be the way to get to deliver the energy. So for like logistically. So I think AI is going to play a role in that in delivering different ways of. If you have especially in a data center that's an obscure location, okay, what if there's a problem? How do we get there? How do we, you know, what's the backup plan? I think that's what I was trying to say. I think that's part of it.
I don't know. There's an old joke that says the future of the data center is one person and a dog, and the dog is there to keep him from touching anything.
That's ruddy. I could see that. Well, you know, it's a great topic for Earth Day 2024. We're talking about plastics and kind of switching. We're going to switch gears in our final section of this show and get you into your holiday mode. Maybe you're planning a trip this summer. Maybe it's on the sea. Well, stay tuned on the Tech Strong Gang. We're going to talk more about cruise ships and some new AI innovations there next. I'm Bonnie Schneider, sustainability contributor to the Tech Strong Group. I'm excited to introduce you to a groundbreaking new initiative from TechStrong Research, the Sustainability Pulse Meter. The Pulse Meter offers valuable insights into how environmental responsibility factors into tech purchasing decisions for key players in the industry. Position your company as a leader in the industry and differentiate from your competitors with the Sustainability Pulse Meter, offered exclusively from TechStrong Research. Welcome back to the Tech Strong Gang on this Earth Day. Well, we are talking about ways to be more sustainable and reduce carbon emissions and, of course, use less energy. And it's not just on land, it's also at sea. So today we're talking also about cruise ships, and Mike Bizarre joins me now. And Mike, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise. There's a lot to think about. Typically, I think most people think about food because they're constantly providing food 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But the people that are running these ships and obviously navigating them, they're also thinking, gosh, we're using a lot of energy. How can we reduce energy use or at least optimize it, maybe make decisions as the cruise takes its path to use less energy? Well, AI is stepping into the forum here, and it's optimizing fuel consumption for cruise ships. And one of the ways it's doing it, which is kind of takes me back to meteorology, which is my background, using the Internet of Things to have devices. Imagine all over the cruise ship. People don't see these devices, but they're measuring different things. Like I imagine the wind that they're facing, the amount of energy that they're using in different areas of the ship. I'm sure it's very, very complex, but using the Internet of Things will actually give the captain of the ship a better insight on, well, if we go this way or we do this or we leave, I imagine the engine going for this time, there's a better way to do it. So the decisions will be AI automated, and it'll really help to reduce energy. I think it's a good idea.
I think to your point, there's too many variables. It's too complex to figure out by yourself, and it changes constantly based on whether what's going on with the waves and everything else. I think we've seen the same thing be applied in airplanes. They're kind of working through the same kind of logistical issues. And I know I just read a piece where somebody was pointing out the amount of energy and carbon that trains are kicking off is amazing. And that could be run more efficiently as well. So I think we're going to have like AI everywhere to help us manage our energy flow, including data centers, by the way. We'll probably have AI to manage the data centers to help them more efficiently. And I'm almost certain that data scientists are building this. And it's just a question of at what cost can we execute it, and how do we get it down into an inference engine that can run on some little monitor on a cruise ship?
I think so too. But it'd also be a lot of decisions are going to have to be made, because I think that sometimes they'll be looking at, well, this route or this way of doing things saves more energy, but we promised our passengers, you know, this stop here. I'm just guessing on a cruise ship. So I think it's going to advance the use of optimizing energy, but it may bring up some new insights that people that are in charge that are running these are going to have to make decisions, maybe in ways that they didn't expect, especially for ships, you know, that are maybe taking a day at sea or overnight. The efficiency will be important, reducing the environmental impact. And then, of course, in the bottom line, is this going to cost us more money or save us money?
I personally am not a great cruiser. I've been on a few. Most recently, I was in France and went on a cruise around the rivers around Bordeaux. But I don't get it myself. I mean, it's kind of like not the best experience in the world, but I don't know. Do you cruise?
No, my sister does, and my brother-in-law, and they love it. I feel the same way you do. I went as a child, and I remember getting a little seasick, and and I just remember them constantly bringing out, there was, like, you think meals, three meals a day, they're the food was just coming too much. It was like midnight buffet. Now it's the after midnight buffet, but a lot of people love it. We're here coming to you in Florida. So cruise ships are everywhere here. So they're obviously very popular. And for those that are looking to enjoy a vacation and think, well, it's, you know, you want to think that what your activity over your vacation is sustainable. I think it also is a positive that the passengers that are on a ship where we're optimizing our use of energy. We're not wasting energy because, as we know, carbon emissions, there's a lot of misconceptions of where the biggest problem is, but it's transportation. That's what we're seeing on our ship. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for your God-given right to go cruising. It's fine with me, but just personally, I'm kind of not quite getting it. But I wonder, with the energy consumption of that, will people pick a cruise line based on how energy efficient it is? Or is that going to be lost on, you know, page 49 of the brochure somewhere in a footnote?
I think that's a good point. You know, let's say they're marketing for cruises out of California. I could see that being a big selling point, you know, for folks there that are perhaps more focused on that. So that is interesting. It could be something for marketing, and it could bring up bookings. So in the end, whoever, you know, if there's someone saying, oh, this might cost us, maybe it'll bring in more revenue. So we'll have to see. You always like to think that these sustainable solutions won't cost. They'll actually help.
Well, maybe we'll see that marketing campaign from, I don't know, Carnival Cruise Lines or somebody touting the energy efficiency of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Of course, it might be more efficient if they never left port in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
What do
true.
I know?
That's true. People have to have their vacations. Well, you know, great topics today, Earth Day 2024. Appreciate you joining us here on the Tech Strong Gang. And it's been a great show, and I hope everyone has a great Earth Day. But I want you to please stay with us on Tech Strong TV. We have terrific interviews coming up, and we look forward to seeing you next time on the Tech Strong Gang.